Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin with verse number 35. If you're able, hopefully you can see that on the screen. I would love for you to read that along with me. Amen. If you're able, read that along with me. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse number 35. Let's read. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Father, we thank you today for the privilege that we have been given to gather together, to worship you and to adore you, and to celebrate, God, the bigness of who you are. With the realization, God, that as we lift up our voices in praise and adoration of you, that God, you are restoring, God, our souls. God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, that Lord, when we give you the praise that is due your name, that there is something that is happening that, Lord, our eyes cannot see, but God, our soul, God, recognizes that you, Lord, are moving and working. And God, we thank you, Father, that, Lord, you are not done yet. We thank you, God, that in the middle of this right now, that God, your word is going to work on us and continue to bring forth healing and deliverance, God, so that your name might be magnified. God, we praise you and we adore you. And Jesus, we declare that you are able to do more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. In your matchless and majestic name, the people of God said, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My, my, my. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Wow, God is good, isn't he? He is deserving of the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen? And it behooves you and me to recognize that he is in the room. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I've got good news for you. It's not just that he is in the room. But if you place the hope in Jesus Christ, he's in you. The one that dwells in you is greater than the one in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to bring your attention again to this story recorded by John Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark. As we have been reading and studying out of this book, we see that Mark moves really quickly through some of the events that were occurring in the life of Jesus Christ when he walked upon the earth as a man. Mark is sharing with us this particular event that took place with Jesus and his disciples. And we see Jesus doing yet another miraculous thing. He is moving in a way that makes them pause. And you saw at the end of our reading that makes them pause and say, who is this man? And you and I ought to be learning day in and day out that we cannot exhaust or discover all of who Jesus is. We ought to be discovering that he reveals more and more of himself as each day passes. And when you and I encounter a new set of crises, we discover that Jesus is the one who is able to do more. More than we've experienced in the past, more than we thought he could do, he is able to do more. More than what the enemy is trying to do against you, Jesus is able to do more. That when he is on your side, there is no weapon that is formed against you that is going to be able to stop you. Why? Because Jesus can do more. Amen. Amen. You got to get that. You got to get that down in your soul. That no matter what comes against you, it is never strong enough to overcome the power of Jesus that resides in you. He is a living God. He's not dead. He has not been crafted by the hands of men. He has not come from your imagination. No, he is the creator. You didn't create him. He is the one who gave you your attributes. You don't give him his. He is God all by himself, and he does not need anyone else. And you and I need to be reminded of who he is, and we need to get it down in our souls that the living God who created the heavens and the earth chooses to dwell with us and to love us and to walk with us and to be our shield and to be our refuge and to comfort us and to give us peace. He chooses to do that. We need to know that he loves us with an everlasting love. The kind of love that is an unfailing love. We got to know that deep down in our souls, because you need to know in this world you are going to have what? Troubles. You're going to have problems. When your troubles and when your problems come, it does not mean that God does not love you. It's another opportunity for him to show you how much he loves you and just how bad he is. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Ooh. Ooh, we need to renew our minds on who God is. Woo! Glory to God. Our eyes have been fixed too much on men that think they have power. Yeah. We've been looking at folk that think they can do whatever they want to do without any accountability, and we getting fixed on that, and you're forgetting that, wait a minute, we serve the sovereign God who sits high and he looks low. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. That he is the one who erects powers and allows men to come to places of rulership. But what I love about God, he never surrenders his authority when he lets somebody else do a little something for a little while. He said, yeah, it's a little while. He said, you need to remember that you are operating at my behest. That you won't do any more than I allow you to do. And when I'm done with you, if you don't acknowledge me, you're going to be done. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all better act like y'all know the Bible. Y'all better act like y'all know the Bible. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, decided that he wanted to mess with God's people. And God let it go on for a while. And when time was up, he sent Moses and said, go deal with this. And when he sent Moses to deal with it, Moses went. And this man who thought he had power had the audacity to say, who is God? Keep asking. You're going to find out. Because God is sovereign and he only gives people authority for a season. That's why if you are a person of authority, you better use it wisely and walk humbly before God. Nebuchadnezzar's son, you remember him? It's about him in Daniel. This guy rose to power after his dad died. And he forgot who God was. He took the utensils that were used for God's temple and he went and decided that he wanted to have a party with the utensils that God uses for worship. Him and his crew in there celebrating and having a feast, drinking wine out of what belongs to God. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a hand appears and begins to write on the wall. And what was written on the wall was too deep for this one who thought he was king to understand. Because God got a language all by himself, don't he? My, my, my. All I'm trying to say is you and I need to remember who we serve. We serve the living God. And even though you may see some things unfolding for a season, remember who you serve. You serve the living God who established the beginning and the end. And he is going to make sure that everything that he desires will be accomplished. And here's the good news. In the midst of all the changes, the God that you serve is able to keep you and do more. Woo! Glory to God. Now you got to get excited about that, right? He is able to do more. I've been describing God. But the truth is, Jesus is God. Amen? The very Son of God, but also Son of Man. Son of God, full of power. Son of Man, without sin, perfect in all of his ways. Amen? He is fully God. Listen to this. In Colossians chapter 1, you're familiar with this, but I want to read it again because I just like it so much. Jesus, the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, which is the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And through him, through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's Jesus, the image of the invisible God. the firstborn over all creation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Holy Spirit inspires the writer to say that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, and get this, the exact representation of his being, and sustaining all things by his powerful word. A few weeks ago, Minister Turner talked about John 1:1. You remember what she said? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, the Word, all things were made, and without him, the Word, nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Son of God. In Philippians 2 and 5, Paul describes Jesus this way: as God, who made himself nothing and took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. This Jesus that we talk about is truly God. And when you and I settle that in our hearts, in our minds, he is able to do more than we were ready for, more than we even desired. He is able to deliver beyond what we expected, because he is God. Amen? Y'all say, why you keep repeating that? You keep saying that over and over. Because sometimes we treat Jesus like he ain't God. Sometimes we treat Jesus like he was just a good man. Yeah, he was a good man. He was a good teacher. Sometimes we talk like he was just a good prophet. You know, we give him those attributes, but we don't give him the attribute that he is deserving of. Jesus is God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one, when the final throne is set up, it will be Jesus who sits on the throne. Hallelujah. You and I use his name so casually without expecting him to move, and we've got to change the way we think, because when you invoke the name of Jesus, something is supposed to happen. Hallelujah. If he's just another man, you're going to get what you expect. Amen. Amen. And so, yes, I keep repeating it and I keep driving it home, because you and I need to see Jesus for who he is. Son of God, who is fully God, who laid down his glory, but his glory was restored to him. For also in Philippians, it said that after he had given his life and God raised him from the dead, he exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. Amen. It is a name that deserves to be honored, revered, not misused, abused, discounted, used lazily, sloppily. No. You use Jesus' name and you give him the reverence that is due him, because he is God. God is described in three persons: Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore, in that Trinity, in that triune God, he represents the second person of the Trinity. Fully God, but he's got a different function and role for you and me. And then the Spirit of God, who represents the third person of the Trinity, alive and active, same as the Jesus that walked among men. In our story for today, we get a revelation about God, about Jesus Christ. It said that day when evening came, Jesus had been teaching, Jesus had been with crowds of people, Jesus had been doing the things that Jesus did. He was healing because Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. Not only did Jesus come to destroy the work of the devil in the lives of people that he encountered, can I tell you that he has not changed? He is the immutable God. He is still on the path to destroy the work of the devil in your life and in my life. So Jesus had been busy destroying the work of the devil. Well, what was the devil doing? The devil was making some people sick. So Jesus came and he brought some healing. The devil had released some of his minions on some people, and some people were walking around possessed. And so Jesus came to set them free from the possession that the devil had released on them. There were some people who had been estranged from their families because there were certain diseases that were so contagious that they had to be removed from their family. Jesus came to restore and to connect by cleansing them from that thing that separated them. Jesus was destroying the works of the devil. And even though the devil has been defeated, he didn't get the message. And he's still trying to mess with people's lives today. What I want you to know is that the only one who can overcome the devil is Jesus. There is no other name that you had better raise up against the devil except the name of Jesus. Every other name that you raise up in opposition to him, we will laugh at you. But when you raise up the name of Jesus and you believe that the one that you talk about is able to do what he said he can do, the devil got to back up. Hallelujah. So, after a long day of ministry, Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. And so, leaving the crowd behind, his disciples put him in a boat to take him to the other side. And then it also says that there were other boats also with him. And then a furious squall came up. That's a serious storm. The waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped, covered. It was so bad that the disciples woke Jesus. He was in the stern sleeping, and they woke him. Remember, these disciples, some of them were fishermen who had been earning their trade on the waters, who had lived on the waters. This storm was so severe that they woke Jesus and asked the question, teacher, don't you care if we drown? That's how serious this storm was. It was a life-threatening storm. And I love that they wake Jesus. But their idea of waking Jesus was not so much for him to do what he did. They just wanted to know, aren't you going to get a bucket and help us too? We're trying to dip water out of this boat so that we don't drown. You need to get up and get a bucket and get with us so that we don't drown. Wake up, Jesus. Don't you, you're right, get to work. Don't you care? Don't you care? See, the end of the text illustrates that they wasn't really expecting Jesus to do what he did. Even though they had encountered some things with Jesus, they were not expecting him to do what he did. So when they woke him, they wasn't waking him up saying, Jesus, we're in the middle of a storm. Can you quiet the storm? That's not what the intent was. The intent was, Jesus, wake up. If we got to be fighting this storm, we need. In fact, Jesus, the only reason I'm in this mess is because you said, let's go to the other side. That's the only reason. I was trying to be obedient to you. And while being obedient to you, I didn't get caught in a storm. And not just any old storm. It's the kind of storm that is threatening to take my life. Yeah, see, sometimes in our lives, conditions are worse than at other times, aren't they? Sometimes a situation puts more pressure on us than we expected and that we feel like we can bear or survive. Sometimes the walls start to close in. And after we have exhausted all of our resources, we discover that our human ingenuity, our resources, are not going to be able to deliver us. That no matter how hard we work, our work is going to have zero impact on that situation. We're in a situation that we cannot resolve in our own strength. It positions us and it puts us in a place to call out for one that is bigger than we are. None of us likes trouble. Amen. We never wake up in the morning and sign up and say, let me see, what trouble do I want to come my way today? That's not what we do. We want a blessed day. Amen. Blessed, when we say blessed, we want it to be stress-free and trouble-free. When we say blessed, we don't want stuff coming, interfering with our good time, our happy feelings. Amen? We don't want that. We don't want the cupboard to run low. We want ample resources in the bank account. We want those resources to fit so that everything that we need is taken care of. Amen? Let's be honest. We don't want to wake up with feeling aches in our bodies. Like you go to bed saying, man, I hope I wake up in the morning and my hip hurting. If you're doing that, I'm going to invite you to come down so I can pray for you. We got some issues somewhere. We don't do that. We're like, God, I want my body to be healthy and whole. I want it to be like what you said in 3 John 1 and 2, that my whole body, soul is healthy and good health. That's what we want. And when sickness comes, it's troubling. It's disturbing. It's impactful and it's painful, especially when it's more than a simple headache. Especially when it's more than what a little Tylenol, Excedrin, or whatever else stuff they got out there to take care of all of these ailments these days. When that comes our way, it is threatening, and we need one who is able to help us to get past the challenges of life. And I want to remind you that in Jesus, we have everything that we need. Amen. Amen. I know the struggle. I know the struggle. You say, I've been calling on Jesus, but I'm still dealing with this issue. I know. So that song that they sang, while you wait, just keep on praising him while you wait. Whatever you do, don't stop believing that Jesus is able to deliver, because you need to remember that he is all that you need, and he can do more than you are expecting. Last week, Minister Godwin said, don't grow weary. In due season, you will reap. If you don't grow weary, don't throw in the towel. And the way that you and I don't grow weary is we keep seeing God for who he is. We keep seeing Jesus for who he is. Jesus is the high, exalted one. You've got to see him for who he is. He is a healer. He is a provider. And can I tell you that when he does not bring healing to your body immediately, he has a grace that will keep you. He'll keep you. And you'll be saying stuff like this, I don't know how. That's it. But God, he keeps on keeping me. They're in the middle of this situation because they're walking in obedience to what Jesus said. And so sometimes you need to make a note of this. Sometimes as you're being obedient to what God has said to you, what the Spirit of God has said to you, there will be opposition that comes your way. Sometimes when you're walking in obedience to God and what he has said to you, you're going to experience difficulty. The opposition nor the difficulty does not negate what God has said or how the Spirit has led you. Don't take opposition or difficulty to mean that, oh, I must have gotten wrong what God said me to do. Some people have wrongfully said, when I'm in God's will, everything gonna work out just perfectly. Read the Bible. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of his followers. Those who were in perfect harmony with God's will, they still had issues to deal with. Walking in obedience to God's word does not relieve you and me of the pressures of this life. And so when they come, you don't throw in the towel. When they come, you don't doubt what Jesus has said to you. When they come, you cry out to him and say, Lord, help. Here I am in the middle of a thing that is bigger than I am. I need your help. Because here is the truth. Every promise that God has made is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And there is nothing that he has started that he won't finish. And if he tells you to do a thing, he's going to see you to the end of that thing. Even though they are in this situation, because they are being obedient to Jesus, this is an opportunity for Jesus to show them who he is. They've seen him heal people that were sick. They've seen him deal with leprosy. They've seen him cast out evil spirits. Now they are going to see that he can do even more. So they wake him up. Don't you care? The answer to this question, because when you're going through what you're going through, in your heart, in your mind, you are saying, God, don't you care? You may not be bold enough to open up your mouth and say it, but somewhere in the citadels of your heart, you're saying, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm suffering like this? Don't you care that I'm hurting like this? And the answer again is yes. Yes, God cares about you. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God has come and he desires to be in a relationship with you because he cares about you. They woke Jesus up and said, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus got up. And I love this. Jesus deals with the problem. Then he comes and he talks to them. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He deals with the problem because he realizes that until I deal with the problem, you ain't going to be able to hear me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be talking to you and you're going to be so fixated on the problem that you're not going to hear a word that I'm saying to you. So let me quiet this storm down. Let me calm this thing down so that you can recognize who I am and so that I can have your full, undivided attention. And so Jesus says to the storm, he rebukes the wind and the waves, and he says, quiet, peace, be still. Be still. Be still. Well, now, because the wind and the waves know who Jesus is, they obey him. Instantly, immediately, it says, the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Then after Jesus deals with the situation, he turns around and starts talking to his disciples. He says to them, why are you so afraid? You're in the middle of a storm, but you got me in the boat. Why are you so afraid? Yes, I was asleep in the stern, but I'm still in the boat. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Jesus, the Son of God, is with you, but you are afraid. You're afraid because you think I don't care about you. You're afraid. You're afraid because you think I don't know what's going on. Oh, because I was asleep, you think I don't know what's going on? I'm the God who knows all things. And just because I'm asleep, you think I'm unaware of what's happening? Is that why you're afraid? Because you feel like God can't see? You feel like your situation is so bad that God can't pierce through the darkness of that situation, that he does not know what's going on? Is that why you are afraid? You still have no faith. After all that he has done for you, do you still have no faith? Or do you believe that the thing that you're going through right now is bigger than the God that serves, that you serve? Why are you afraid? Jesus poses this question to his disciples, and I declare to you that it's still relevant for you and me today, because we come up against stuff and the first thing many times that hits us is fear and anxiety about what are we going to do. And in this text, we are being revealed to a truth. When Jesus is in your boat, you don't need to worry. Come on, y'all. You do know Jesus in your boat, right? You do know this, right? Jesus in your boat. And here it says he was sleeping in the stern, which means that while there was a place where, you know, he was sheltered from all of the stuff that was going on the outside of the boat, which means that he was on the inside of a boat in a secure place where he didn't have to deal with the stuff. Don't you know that Jesus lives on the inside of you? And the one who lives in you is bigger than the one who lives in the world. So Jesus is in your boat. When you come to know him, he says that the person who knows him, who confesses him, his spirit comes to live inside of that individual. And because his spirit comes to live inside of you, you are never, ever alone. It was Jesus's promise. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Here's another way he said that. I'm going to walk with you through every storm. I'm going to walk with you through every difficulty. I'm going to walk with you through every hard time. I'm going to walk with you whenever your enemy presses up against you. I will be right there with you. Oh, you might think I'm asleep because I haven't risen up and dealt with the situation yet, but you need to know I'm in your boat. And if I'm in your boat, you need not be afraid. Ooh, he's in my boat. Come on, say that. Say that. Jesus is in my boat. Ooh. Or if you wasn't comfortable saying that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All up in it. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So that gives you and me a picture of what's happening. Jesus is in the stern. It looks like as you and I are going through life and when stuff rages against us, that we have one who lives in us who is able to deal with the stuff on the outside. And so when something comes against you that you were not expecting, remember, they were not expecting the storm. When something comes against you that you were not expecting, remember, you've got one who knows the end from the beginning. Oh. In other words, nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. 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 Wayward kids don't catch Jesus by surprise. Nothing. Knucklehead spouses don't catch Jesus by surprise. Nothing. Nothing. File employees or employers don't catch him by surprise. When the storms of life come up against you, it becomes an opportunity for you to see this God that you serve do more than you've seen in the past. Gives him an opportunity to reveal himself afresh and new to you. Just when you think you haven't figured out, he says, wait a minute, I got some more to show you. But I can't show it to you until the circumstances are right. And when the enemy presses up against your soul to keep you from walking out God's plan for your life, he shows up and says, no, I'm with you. And what I've started, I will see to completion. We're going to make it to the other side. When Jesus says to the wind and to the waves, peace, be still, quiet, be still, and the wind and the waves obey him, his disciples look at him and they become afraid and they say, who is this? Who is this? Well, the answer is this. He is the Jesus who is able to do more than your mind can conceive. Amen? That's who this is. He is the Jesus who is able to forgive your sins and separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. That's who this is. He is the Jesus who is able to take an old, dirty, filthy rag and wash it clean in his blood. That's who this Jesus is. He is the one who is able to take whoever might be pressing up against you and to deliver you from the hand of the enemy, because he is more powerful than anyone or anything that will ever come your way. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is holy. He is righteous. He is strong and he is faithful. A wonderful Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the one who is never late, and he's always, always, always on time. All you got to do is wait for him. He's going to be on time. Wait for him. He's going to be on time. The way you and I wait on him is by realizing that the God who lives on the inside of us won't abandon us, but he will strengthen us to make it through and fulfill everything that he said he will do. Brothers and sisters, the Jesus that we serve is fully God, and he is able to do more than just save you from your sins. He is able to deliver you, because he is the God who is able to save completely. Amen. If you believe that, would you give God a serious hand clap of praise? If you believe that, would you just go ahead and shout hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on. If you believe that, just go ahead and say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's him. That's him. He deserves to be celebrated. That's him. That's him. He's the one who sits on the throne. Yeah, he's the one who is able. He is able to deliver and set free. Yeah, he's able to give you a testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Holy and wonderful Savior, we bow before you and we acknowledge that you are more than enough for us. And in fact, you are all that we need. We thank you that you are holy. We thank you that you are righteous. We thank you that you are strong and that you are eternal. We thank you that your unfailing love will last forever, that you have faithfulness as enduring as the heavens. We thank you that you are the one who performs great wonders, that there is no one who compares with you. We thank you that you are awesome, that you are more awesome than all those who surround your throne, that there is no one mightier than you. We thank you that you are entirely faithful, that there is power in your arm, that your right hand is strong, that your right hand is high and lifted in glorious strength. We thank you that you are the promise keeper who has loved us with an everlasting love, and who has desired to see us made well. We thank you that we have been clothed with your salvation and a robe of righteousness. And because of you, because of the way that you have rescued us, redeemed us, because of the way that you have dressed us, we look good because of you. And for that, God, we say thank you. Thank you for loving us and continuing to show us that our Savior and our Redeemer is able to do more than we can ever ask, think, or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. We thank you in his matchless name. And the people of God said,